There really are. I mean,
Mark talked about being in the middle of summer, and I thought to myself, you know, that's true. Let's just take the number 50, or just take the number 20, and think about the promise that that the Word of God has made to us, that we're given 70 years. If by reason of strength, maybe 80, but we're generally, you know, we can look forward to 70 years. From the age of 50 to the age of 70, or 20 to the age of 70, you just got 50 years. That's just 50 summers. That's all you got to work with. All those opportunities that Mark talked to us about, there are just 50 of them. Just 50 of them. I think about that when it comes to every year. I love to worship God. I tell you more often than you want to hear. I'd rather die than not remember what he's done for me. I'm that much like my dad. My dad, with Alzheimer's, he couldn't remember a whole lot of things. But, buddy, when you took him that Lord's Supper, he remembered. Didn't he, Mom? He remembered. He could be mad at us because we put him in a little rehab thing, and he thought we'd put him in a nursing facility. We just put him there for a few days to get him some strength back, and he thought he was there forever, and he was mad, and he wouldn't even speak to you. I mean, you go in, he wouldn't even speak to us. But Dad, I'm here because it's Sunday and I have the Lord's Supper. Oh, well, that's all different. I'd rather die than not remember every first day of the week. And my dad would have rather died than for me to have not provided him with the opportunity for him to at least remember, even in the throes of Alzheimer's, to remember. And we only have 52 of them in a year. Just 52. And some of you act like no big deal. I'll remember if nothing else is, you know, comes up. If there's not anything else, you know, kind of that I feel like I ought to be doing, need to be doing, that's more important than just 52 of them. Just 52 times this year I get to do this. Just 52. You know, even our Lord, with all of his power, was limited when it came to the opportunities while here on earth that were at his disposal. I remember him making a trip through through Samaria and meeting up with a woman at the well and talking with her and those kind of things, and her going back into the city. His disciples had been off getting him something to eat, and he comes back and they offer him something to eat, and he says, I have meat, you know, not of. They begin to question within themselves, has someone else fed him? Jesus says, no, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish the work which he sent me to do. And then he turns to them, and don't you say, wait 4 months and then the harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They're white already unto harvest. You're not going to have this opportunity again, he's saying to them. You're not going to have this opportunity. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. That's John chapter 4. Later in John chapter 9 and verse number 4. Jesus had healed a man who is blind. From birth, he's being criticized for that. And he says, hey, just let me tell you how it is. I must work my Father's work while it is yet day, because night comes when no man can work. Now, what's he saying? I have this opportunity in front of me, and if I don't lay hold of that opportunity, I'll never have that opportunity again. Night's coming. and no man can work in that. The Apostle Paul had an opportunity. I want to read it to you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I'm going to begin in verse number 5, and we're just going to read down through verse number 9. And then we're going to really focus in on verse number 9 as I just encourage you and encourage us in some things that are coming up. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse number 5. Paul is in Ephesus at this time, and he's writing to the church now, this letter to Corinth. He says, "Now I will come unto you when I pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia." I'm going to come to see you. I'm going to do that when I pass through Macedonia, and I am going to pass through Macedonia. And it may well be that I'll abide with you, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. And I'll spend some time with you. Maybe I'll even spend the winter with you, he says. And then you can kind of send me on wherever I'm going from there. Verse 7. "For I'll not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permits." Now, I'm not going to see you right away, but I trust I will see you, and I'll get to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. Verse number 8. "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." Don't just skirt over that. How long did Paul intend to stay at Ephesus? Until Pentecost. I'll tarry here until Pentecost. Now, Pentecost comes around once a year. Whatever time of the year it was, he just intended to stay from then until the time of the Pentecost. Less than a year. Less than a year. Verse number 9. "For a door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." I'm going to stay here at Ephesus till Pentecost because there's a door for effective work here. And there are many adversaries. Little did Paul know when he wrote this to the church at Corinth, that door for effectual work would lead him to stay in Ephesus for 3 years. How long did he intend to stay? Less than a year. But he stays for 3 years in Ephesus, longer than he stays in any other place, because there's a door, an effectual open unto me, he says, and there are many adversaries. I thought, hey, maybe it'd be good for you to look at it from a couple of translations. I've just read to you from the King James Version. Here's the English Standard Version right down at the bottom. Here's the English Standard Version, which, you know, says it just a little more modern for us. "But I'll stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Yeah, there in verse number 9, there are three things we see about this that Paul sees. Paul sees, first of all, a door of opportunity. Notice he says, "I'll stay in Pentecost for a wide door for effective work has opened." A wide door. It's not a narrow door. It's a wide door. And it's a wide door for effective work. It's opened. It's opened. And it's an opportunity. Now, what are you going to do with that opportunity, Paul? This opportunity is not going to come around again. I intend to go to Ephesus. I got other places I intend to go. But here's an opportunity. Now, what are you going to do with that opportunity? And you and I have opportunities. And there's just so many of them. There's just so many of them. But I just want to remind you of a couple of opportunities that we're having just right now. That we're having. 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from this evening. Is what we're referring to as a gospel gathering. Begins on Sunday, ends on Friday evening. Every evening from 7 o'clock to 8:15. You'll be out by 8:15 every evening. And in this gospel gathering, some of the great teachers and preachers of our area are going to be teaching and encouraging and exhorting us in great ways. Reminding us, every one of these lessons will be coming from this passage of Scripture, Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 26 and running through the end of the chapter, verse number 29, where the Apostle Paul says, "For we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. And there's no more Jew, Gentile, and bond and free, and male and female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're children of Abraham and you're heirs according to the promise." And the theme is one in Christ. Our goal, some of us met just again yesterday morning to put hopefully some finishing touches on it. They keep thinking you need one more meeting. But we'll have one more meeting, but we're putting the final touches on it. Things are being put into place. And as we met as groups of leaders from all the congregations in this area, as we met, we talked about our number one goal is 100% attendance from the members of our congregation. We're one in Christ. The greatest strength we have is the unity that we experience in Christ Jesus. And you need to be in there. You need to be there, and you need to invite your friends and family to come be with you too. Every evening, you need to be in attendance. Our goal is 100% attendance from the congregations in this area. And every member of the Lord's church, every member of the Lord's church, they're all working on it. Will we be the one that lets them down? Will you be the one that lets them down? Will you be the one that lets the church down, the Lord down, when it comes to this event? We got an opportunity in front of us. You won't have this opportunity again. You say, "Well, don't you think they'll probably have it again?" They may. If the Lord doesn't return, they may have it again. But you'll never have that opportunity again. That's all you got. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Here's another opportunity that we have in front of us. A little less than 3 weeks from now, our Vacation Bible School begins. The 15th through July the 18th. Just real short. We keep shortening everything. Used to have 2 weeks, then we went to a week. Now we got to get it down to where you get it, you know. But we just keep shortening everything, making it easier on ourselves. What are we going to do with an opportunity like this? What are you going to do with it? Here's an opportunity for you to invite your friends and your families and the children of your community to come be a part of Vacation Bible School. And you know what we found? We found that they'll come to a Vacation Bible School when they might not come to anything else. They'll come to a vacation Bible school. And you got the we have the opportunity to invite them. Paul not only saw at Ephesus a door of opportunity, he also saw a door of obligation. Look at what he says. Look at what Paul writes to him. But I'll stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has been opened to who? It's been opened to me. He going to mention Timothy in the very next verse to the church at Ephesus. He didn't say, hey, a door of opportunity has been opened. I hope Timothy gets over here and takes care of it. No, it's been opened to me. Do you see it as a door of obligation? Do you see anything as you're obligated to anything anymore? We're one in Christ. Okay. Does that obligate you in any way? Well, sure it does. Sure it does. I remind you again. Here's what we're going to be studying during that gospel crusade. This is just one of the verses. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For we are one in Christ Jesus. Let me work on that one for a minute, okay? Just humor me for a minute. Are we struggling in our area with this Jew-Greek issue? How many of y'all struggling with that? Getting along with your Jewish friends. Getting along with your Jewish brothers in the church. Any of y'all working on that one? How about this slave and free? Any of y'all working on that? Any of y'all having to deal with that? Well, I sit on the pew with a man who's free and I'm a slave. Any of you dealing with that? How about this one? Male and female. Anyone dealing with that? Well, which one's more important? Hey, we're equally important, aren't we? You dealing with that? Folks, this verse applies to us as much as it applied to them, maybe just in different ways. So humor me. Humor me. As we're talking about a door of obligation, you know, it might be possible in the day and age in which we're living that Paul, what he's writing right now, might say to the church, there's neither old and middle-aged. There's neither teen and middle school, junior high. And there's neither middle school and children. You say, well, that's the weirdest thing I ever heard of. Folks, does it not exist? I mean, we can either pretend that it doesn't, we can put on blinders and do not, or we can own this thing. We can own this problem and work on it. We got old and middle class, or middle age. And that's for the old people. And, you know, hey, I'm a young adult. Yo, that's not for me. They're not talking to me. I'm not obligated. I'm not obligated. I'm a teen. I'm a teen. Perhaps this is the biggest one. Because over time, we've made some mistakes in the Lord's church. We've given them their own room. We call it a teen room, don't we? We call it a teen room. We've given them their own minister, hadn't we? We call them a youth minister. And if we're not careful, they see themselves as a congregation within a congregation. Or that's them, and this is a, and it leads to all kinds of issues. It'll lead to problems like, well, you know, I'm a teen. I don't attend on Sunday evening unless they're having a area-wide youth devotional, and then I feel obligated to attend. Why didn't you feel obligated to attend the other services of the Lord's church? Because you're a congregation within a congregation. Now, folks, it's either a problem or it's not. We can put the blinders on, we can pretend it doesn't exist, or we can say, you're right. You know, I never thought about it like that. That's going on among us, and we're going to work on that. And we're going to work on that. Oh, they're having that gospel gathering thing. That's for old people. That's not for us. Really? Really? Either we're all one body in Christ Jesus or we're not. And if we're not, let's quit pretending that we are. Let's quit saying that we are. And if we are all one in Christ Jesus, then that's to act like we are. Amen, church? I'm going to try that one more time. If we are one in Christ Jesus, then let's act like we're one in Christ Jesus. Amen, church? Amen. That's right. That's right. Oh, it's vacation Bible school. That's for kids. Here we go the other side of that thing, right? And if we're not careful, we'll even, in a not thinking kind of way, I think sometimes. Say, now when we get to this point, you old people, go home. Kids, you stay around. Because after all, we're two congregations, right? Old and young. Church, if we're one in Christ, let's either stop saying that we are and acting like we're not, or let's say that we are and let's act like we are. We are one in Christ Jesus. Well, that's the kids' responsibility to invite their friends to come to Vacation Bible School. We're having Vacation Bible School for all ages, right? And we're all included in this. It's a door of opportunity. And who's obligated to lay hold of that opportunity? Every one of us. Every one of us. Not only did he see Ephesus as a door of opportunity and a door of obligation, but he saw a door of opposition. Listen to him again. But I'll stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has been opened to me. And there are many adversaries. He saw there are things working against you. There are things working against him. And you know what? There are many adversaries toward these things that I'm encouraging you toward right here this morning. Do you think Satan is just going to leave this alone? He's going to work on you. He's going to work on you. He's going to put all kinds of nice things in front of you. They'll make it seem more important than your attendance at a gospel gathering and your attendance and participation at a vacation Bible school. But that shouldn't shock you. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, no marvel. Shouldn't marvel. You shouldn't marvel at the fact that Satan himself can be transformed, can transform himself into an angel of light. Look good. Looks right. Peter warns. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober. Think smart. Think. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be looking. Because you have an adversary, the devil, who walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen to him now. Whom resist you steadfast? You resist him. You don't do it. There are some just natural things when it comes to the gospel gathering. that just don't work in your favor, folks. You got to resist. You got to work through those things. They're just natural obstacles. I guarantee you someone's already said, man, he's talking about six nights. Sunday through Friday. I can count. He thinks I should feel obligated to six nights? Who's the only one who's putting those kind of thoughts in your head? Your preacher's not putting them in your head. Your elders aren't putting them in your head. Who's putting that thought in your head? It's six nights. The sheer number in attendance is going to cause some of you to say, hey, I'm just not sure that's for me. Too many people. Well, I mean, they're all coming to one place. They're all going to be in one auditorium. Man, that's a lot of people. And the sheer number. Well, I might have to sit on the second row. Get there at noon. If you want a back seat, get there at noon. If that's where you've got to sit, then get there at noon. But don't let the fact that you might have to sit on the second pew or the first pew be an excuse. Because who's putting that in your head? Your adversary. The devil is. Well, we got to travel. Man, they're holding that thing in Conway. We may have to travel. Pretend it's a trip to Branson. Pretend it's to the Gulf Shores. When's the last time? Oh, man, that's too far to go. You don't have any problem there. You don't have any problem. It's only when it comes to the Lord's work and who's putting those kind of thoughts in your mind. He doesn't bother you when it comes to, you know, 150 miles. He doesn't bother you. But when it comes to 20 miles, oh man, yeah, that's a long trip. Whom resist ye steadfast? Don't let him get to you on that. When it comes to our vacation Bible school, I'm going to tell you, you got it working against you, folks. It starts on a Saturday evening. It starts on a Saturday evening. I cannot see a plus in that yet. But that's when we're starting it now. It's going to start on a Saturday evening. Well, man, what do you usually do on Saturday evening? And you're asking me to go to a vacation Bible school on a Saturday evening. Not only does it start on a Saturday evening, it starts on a Saturday evening now, folks. It starts on a Saturday evening after you've attended every night of a gospel gathering Monday through Friday. Getting easier, isn't it? I'm tired already. How about y'all? We ain't even got there. I'm tired already. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. While I'm just running across that one right there, let me say to you that if you're involved in this vacation Bible school, and every one of us should be, in any way, don't shirk. Don't you let up. Well, they got all this other stuff going. I'm not going to decorate the way we should. I'm not gonna do as much preparing for my class. I'm not gonna do as much preparing my class. I'm not gonna do as much. I'm not gonna do it. If that's your attitude, please, with all love, I say to you, please, if that's gonna be your attitude, please step aside right now and let us put someone in your place that will give it their 100% heart. Because we only do this once a year, don't we? We only do this once a year, and it's the best thing we do. It's the best thing we do. I'm encouraging you. Do more this year than you did last year. Work harder this year at it than you did last year. You only have this opportunity one time a year. But those things are working against you now. I'm telling you, those things are working against you. But you know what? Paul chose to stay in Ephesus. You know why he chose to stay in Ephesus? I find it right there in that verse, Mark. I find it right there in that verse. Paul chose to stay in Ephesus because there was an opportunity for effective work in Ephesus. That's where the opportunity was at. He chose to stay in Ephesus because he was obligated to use that opportunity for Christ. He chose to stay in Ephesus because there was opposition. Not because there wasn't, but because there was opposition. Y'all aren't as old as some of us. We can remember a president by the name of John F. Kennedy who challenged our nation to go to the moon and back in our generation. Didn't he? Do you remember what he said when he made that challenge to us? He said, "We choose to do this not because it's easy, but because it's hard." That's Paul. That's the reason he stayed. Not because it was easy, but because it was an opportunity. Because he was obligated to step into that opportunity. And because there was opposition there. It was going to be hard. It was going to be difficult. Now, folks, you can have a vacation Bible school. You can have a vacation Bible school, and you can set it at all the times it's so greatly convenient and all of those kind of things. And maybe you have a great crowd and all that. And you can glory in that. You can say, "Oh, man, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We accomplished something." But, folks, when you got things working against you, and you have a vacation Bible school, and people come, and great lessons are taught, and things are done in spite of the difficulties, you look back and you can say, "That was hard, but we did it." But we did it. And so I'm asking us to be just like Paul. To be just like Paul. To see these doors of opportunity, to see our obligation. Go into it with your eyes wide open. There's obstacles, there's opposition, there's obstacles. But that's one reason to do it. It's because there's obstacles. And so, I've asked our brother, Scott. Do y'all know Scott? If you don't, shame on you. I've asked Brother Scott if he would to lead us in prayer for these two things. Would you do that? You can stand right down here, brother.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this congregation and the light of love and outreach that they've been to this community for years. And thank you for David and the work that he's done. Thank you for using him as an instrument of your truth, and for placing in his heart the steadfastness to hold true to that. As these opportunities approach, Father, we just pray that you'll place in our heart the obligation and the commitment and the willingness to be a part of those opportunities wholeheartedly. Pray that you will strengthen this congregation and the brotherhood in this area through unity and love for each other as new relationships are developed and commitments are made. We pray, Father, that as VBS approaches, that you'll open hearts of those in this community to your word and use us to reach out to them and to bring them here and to introduce them to the love that you have for them. Thank you for David and the challenge that he's placed before us today. Help us to take that into our hearts. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Scott. The invitation is it's a strange thing. As I read in the pages of my New Testament, especially the book of Acts, I don't read of anything just like this. I don't read of it in a formal way. In fact, more times than not, I read about people asking the preacher, well, here's water. Can I be baptized? Asking the preacher. They stopped old Peter's sermon, mid-sermon on the day of Pentecost. I know that he did. They did. They stopped him mid-sermon. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, Peter says, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he continued his sermon. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying. They ask him. He didn't ask them. But over the years, we've developed this invitation thing. There are a lot of things that this invitation can and should be used for. One of those things is for us who are members of the family of God to inform one another of needs that we have in our lives, maybe of difficulties and struggles that are going on and those kind of things, challenges, weaknesses that we're doing, so that we can pray for one another, encourage one another, assist one another in the coming days. And of course, while we're giving those of us who are members of the body of Christ, those of us who are already Christians, the opportunity to let one another know of the needs they have, it's a good opportunity for us to offer the opportunity to those who aren't Christians yet to become Christians, just like they did in the Bible. So this morning, if you're in need of the invitation of our Lord, whether as a Christian or as one who needs to become a Christian, this invitation is our Lord's invitation to you. And if you have needs, you come to the front and do that now, as together we stand and sing.